Well, good morning. So thankful for the volunteers serving again this week, systematically, faithfully, lovingly teaching the kids the Word of God week in and week out. Hey, would you tell the person next to you in just a moment, would you tell them, is it easier for you to serve or be served? In other words, we're going to talk about Jesus washing the disciples' feet today. Is it easier for you to wash other people's feet or have your feet washed? Like, is it easier for you to lay down your life and give to other people, or is it easier for you to receive that type of service from them? So go ahead, tell the person sitting next to you, is it easier for you to be served or to serve? All right. Easier to be served or to serve? My guess is that a whole bunch of you said it is easier to serve. I said, in my mind, it is easier to serve. Then I thought, wait. At 2 a.m. when a kid is crying, I think it's easier to be served. I think it's easier if she gets up and deals with the kid. Wait. If the dog gets sick on the couch and leaves a terrible mess, is it easier to be served or to serve? I don't clean up very many of those. I'm just going to be honest. Sometimes it's easier to be served. When there's a difficult, emotional conversation to have that it's going to be tense, is it easier to be served or to serve? Sometimes the question is a little bit more complicated than we make it. But we're talking about service today from John chapter 13. And the core value we're going over today is serve, equipped to impact like Jesus. At the end, so this is maybe what to be listening for. At the end, I'm going to have you talk to the person you're sitting next to again and tell them, what is your next step? What is your next step? So what will you do with this passage? If you just walk away from this passage and think, well, that was interesting, that was intellectually stimulating, but then you never actually do anything, then we missed the boat. I missed it, you missed it, somebody missed it, because there's a lot. This passage should change our lives. We're working through a series on our mission statement and then our core values. Our mission statement is to multiply followers of Jesus Christ. The values that we've already worked through are worship. We offer our lives back to God. We learn. We're transformed by biblical truth. We pray. We're aligned with the heart of God. And then we serve. We're equipped to impact like Jesus. So before we open the Word and see Jesus washing his disciples' feet in John 13, let me pray. Lord, we don't want to run by the fact that you served us. And Lord, first, we just need to sit with that before we think about serving other people. And so, Lord, I pray that you would open this word to us and help us see your glory in the way that you served us. And then, Lord, let it transform us. Lord, I pray that you would stand in front of me while I'm in front of them, that you talk over me while I talk to them, so that good is actually accomplished, lives are actually changed. Lord, I pray these things. In Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 13, verse 1. Now, before the feast of the, what's that next word? You can say it out loud. It's okay to talk in church. What's that next word? Passover, yeah, the Passover. So that goes all the way back to Exodus, and the people are slaves in Egypt. Remember that? And Moses comes into Pharaoh and says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, no, thank you. I think I'll keep them as slaves. And so God says, you're going to see my power and behold my glory. And so God embarrasses the Egyptian gods with one plague after another. And then we come to the final plague, where God says, I'm going to kill all their firstborn, and you're going to be my firstborn. But in order for you to not be killed, you need to get a lamb. And so you go out and you get one of your lambs that is without blemish, and they're to bring it into the house and have it be part of the family for a while. And then they were told to kill the Passover lamb, to slit its throat, and then take its blood and put the blood on the doorpost so that when the destroyer went through the camp, he would see the blood and he would pass over. I will pass over you. And that's how it became known as a Passover, because you were passed over, you were preserved, you were rescued, you became my people, and then you were freed from Egyptian slavery. So this is the reference to the Passover lamb that we see early on in the book of John. John the Baptist sees Jesus coming down and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That is a reference to the Passover lamb whose blood was painted on the door. So when God saw the blood, he passed over. Okay, so now before the feast of the Passover, with all of that historical reference and baggage kind of coming with them, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father. So hour is a key word in John, talking about the time when he would die on the cross for our sins. When Jesus knew that his hour had come, this is even though we're in John 13, which is not close to the end of the book, it's the end of Jesus' life. And he knows that it is his time to give his life, to take away our sins. When Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. During supper, when the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. John wants you to not have any doubt about who it was. He says that a couple times. Judas Iscariot, you know, the Judas Iscariot's at Simon's son. He was going to betray him. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. So you know that there are times in the Bible where it just skips over 40 years, or it will skip over even more years than that, or it will say, and Jesus went somewhere, and it will just skip over the whole walk as many times. Watch how slow-mo this goes. So Jesus rose from supper. They're like, he stood up. Like, okay, well, can we assume that he stood up? No, we need to tell you that this was a time when he stood up. And he laid aside his outer garment. You're like, man, the disciples, they remember this because it really made an impression on them. So he stood up. He took off his outer garments, and taking a towel, okay, so taking a towel, what did he do with a towel? He tied it around his waist, okay. You see how detailed this is? It's so detailed because they couldn't believe it was happening. They're like, for you, they're like, slow this down and let them think about it. They need to really own what Jesus did for his disciples here. So Jesus stands up, he takes a towel, he ties it around his waist, then he poured water into a basin. So I'm not going to use water because there's electrical equipment underneath the stage. And I like thrills, but not all of our sound guys do. Then he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash his disciples' feet. So, Brendan, come on up. So you would think that's good, right? You'd think that's enough with this description because they're sitting there watching Jesus. So watch this phrase by phrase. He rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments. He took a towel. He tied it around his waist. He poured water into a basin. He began to wash his disciples' feet. And then one more thing. And then he began to wipe them with a towel that was wrapped around him. So Jesus is, you can stick your foot in there. He is washing their feet. That means like he's scrubbing them, like getting the filth and the dirt. Like you know that they walked on the same roads as the horses. That they walked on the same roads as everybody. It was dirty. Dirty feet. So he's scrubbing them. And then he says, okay, pick your feet up. And then he takes a towel and he scrubs them and he gets them nice and clean. Which one of us would you rather be? Would you rather be me or would you rather be him? I don't know. They're both hard, right? Like it's hard to be the one washing, but I think it's almost harder to be the one receiving it. Don't you? It's almost harder to just sit back and let what Jesus is going to say is, I am your teacher and Lord, and I'm doing this for you. That's almost harder. Like it's okay, remember these three words. It's shocking. It's shocking. It's humiliating because you have to let them serve you. Easier to serve them sometimes. It's shocking. It's humiliating, and they remember it their whole life. It's memorable. Thanks, Brendan. D.A. Carson is not a man that makes reckless statements. If you know about evangelical scholarship, you know D.A. Carson is one of the most trusted scholars that we have. And he writes about this. There is no instance, nowhere else, there is no instance in either Jewish or Greek or Roman sources of a superior washing the feet of an inferior. This is the only time, it is the only time where a superior washes the feet of an inferior. No one wanted to do this. No one was willing to do this. Everyone else was afraid of doing this, not stoop to doing this. Here's what I want you to see. I want you to see that Jesus served by washing his disciples' feet, by doing the job that everyone was afraid to do, unwilling to do, wouldn't do. Jesus got down and did it. They didn't wash each other's feet. They didn't wash his feet. No one wanted to do that job. So Jesus, showing them the full extent of his love, showing them this is what love is like, gets down and washes their feet. And it's shocking and it's humiliating. And they remember it their whole lives. Jesus served by washing feet. And he came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Lord, are we really going to do this? Remember, it's shocking, it's humiliating, and it's memorable. And Jesus says to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but afterward, you will understand. What is the afterward there? Yeah, his death. Afterward, you don't understand what I'm doing right now. This is shocking, it's humiliating, and we remember it, but he's like, this points forward to something that you'll understand later. How does foot washing point forward to the cross? Well, it's shocking. Not to you, maybe, because you're too familiar with it. You've heard about it your whole life. But to think of the Jewish messianic king, the guy that was supposed to deliver them and save them, going and being tortured to death, hung naked on a cross, where it looks for all the world like the Romans won, be shocking. It's also humiliating because when you and I come to the cross, we have to just sit there and say, go ahead and serve me. There's nothing I can contribute. There's nothing I can do. I can't pay for this. I don't deserve this. Just go ahead and serve. I'm going to say this, and I want you to dial in. If the cross isn't humiliating, like service humiliating, like there's nothing I can contribute, there's nothing I can do, I'm just going to let you serve me. That kind of humiliating. Not the wrong kind of humiliating. There's a wrong kind. But the right kind of humiliating, like it's like I have to let my superior serve me. If it's not humiliating, you haven't understood it yet. If it's not humiliating, I'm not sure you get it. It's something where we have to just say, Lord, I just have to let you do this because I can't. And I'm not helping when I try. Jesus served by washing his disciples' feet, and that pointed forward to how he was going to take away their sins. Remember, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Like, if he was going to take away our sins so that we could be clean, where did he put them? Where did he take them to? Onto himself. And then he brought them down with him into death and left them there and rose again on the third day. He takes away our sins. Jesus washed our feet, and that points forward to how he's going to take away our sins. And then Peter said to him, Lord, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. And Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Like, I'm all in. Peter, I appreciate that about Peter. He's always all in. And Jesus said to him, the one who has been bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but is completely clean. Like, Peter, I've already washed you. This is a reminder, and it's an example, and it's pointing forward for you. It's giving you depth of understanding of the crucifixion. You'll understand this more later on. And you are clean. Like, you are already clean, Peter. This is just a reminder and a teaching. But not every one of you is clean. Who's he talking about? Judas. Judas Iscariot. For he knew who was to betray him, and that is why he said, not all of you are clean. And when he washed their feet and put on his outer garments, and resumed his place. And he said to them, do you understand what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. Jesus is being really, really clear, saying the same thing a couple times. He's saying, I have done this. I've done this. I've sat and I've washed your feet as an example, so that you would follow my example. You can't say you're a follower of Jesus if you're not committed to following his example. Jesus served as an example, doing the job that no one wanted to do, that no one was willing to do, that everyone else was afraid to do. Jesus served as an example. That you also should do just as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master. So he's like, don't say, well, I don't have to wash other people's feet because I'm higher than them on the ladder so that they can do my feet, but I don't have to do their feet. He's like, hold on. I am your master and Lord. If I wash your feet, you can wash their feet. Nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And by the way, they're going to be messengers. And he's saying, you're going to be my messengers, and I'm going to send you. And one of the things you can't say is that I don't have to wash other people's feet because I'm, no. I wash your feet, you wash their feet. There's two ifs in this sentence. Neither one of these should be assumed. If you know these things, so not everyone knows these things, but if you do, blessed are you if you do them. Which things? Well, washing one another's feet. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus served by washing feet, by taking away our sins, and then third, as an example. So the question is, what should we do? Remember, I'm going to ask you at the end, what is your next step? What should we do? Well, number one, I don't think we can pass go until we say the first thing is to be clean. The first thing is to ask Jesus to take away our sins. That's the first thing. He's like, Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. So have you humiliated yourself to come to Jesus and say, Jesus, you are going to have to wash me. I'm going to let you wash me. I'm not going to contribute anything. I'm not going to do anything. You go ahead and wash me. One of the ways we understand this is with communion. You're holding your communion cup, maybe. Maybe you decided to take communion today and took one of these. I just want to remind you, like, this is not a potluck that you have to bring something to. So the symbolism is important, right? So we don't say, bring your own communion. We give it to you just like salvation is given to you. It's not something you contribute to. It's something you just receive. You just received communion. Like you just received salvation. So if you're new and you're not sure, the first thing is, this is not something you can earn. It is something you have to humiliate yourself enough to just receive. First, it's not something that you contribute to. Second, it's not something you pay for. So you notice we haven't passed the plates yet. It's not like we pass the plates and see who tithes, and then only they get communion. You see that? Like, this is just something you receive. It's just something that God does for you. It's just something that you're like, I don't deserve this. I can't demand this. It's just something that is given to me. It is just something that I have to receive by grace. If it isn't difficult for you to receive, I don't know if you've understood it yet. It's shocking, it's humiliating, and our Lord knew it would be easy for us to forget. And that's why he said, you need to do this often. In remembrance of me. You need to do this as a reminder, as a continual reminder of how I washed your feet by going to the cross so that you could wash one another's feet in the way you serve one another. So let's take communion. If you're new, we are a church that practices open communion, and what that means is you don't have to be a member here to receive communion. We don't like check your papers on the way in to see whether or not you can receive a cup. We just ask, really plead that if this is not true, like if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, that you not do this. If you're living in open, high-handed, flipping God off sin, then please stand back a minute and repent and make that right and then come back and receive communion. But if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, if you're all in and he is in you, then take this with us as a remembrance of what he did for us. So we read, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it." So go ahead and break your bread, thinking about how Christ was broken for us. "And said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Lord, we are just so thankful for everything communion means, everything it symbolizes. We're so thankful that you humbled yourself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross, so that we could be washed clean. Lord, we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus served, so ask him to wash you clean. That's where we have to start. Number two, as Jesus set an example for us, we follow that example of serving one another. So Jesus said, "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet." So you should see serving not as a mark of immaturity or being low on the totem pole or not very high on the ladder. You should see serving as a mark of maturity, strength, and leadership. Because after all, that's what it means to follow Jesus' example. "If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." Now, what this implies, the emphasis here is on you make sure you are serving. You are washing one another's feet. But this implies that you're going to wash one another's feet. Like, there's no one's feet to wash if everyone is only serving all the time. Does that make sense? You wash one another's feet, that implies that someone's going to wash your feet. Then you're going to wash their feet. It is a giving and receiving cycle. You also ought to wash one another's feet, give and receive service in the church family. Man, this is something that our church has historically been very, very good at. This is something that I think our church has broad shoulders and calloused hands. Like, our church knows and loves service. So, like, I'm just so thankful for all of you who volunteer in the nursery, in Kids Zone, in Awana, in Kids Hope. I'm going to leave stuff out, and that's the reckless part of this. But you volunteer here, but you also volunteer out there. You volunteer at Love Inc. You volunteer at the mission, you volunteer at Positive Options. Some of you volunteer like on Buildings and Grounds. Like, you do stuff then the staff never even knows about it, but the staff knows a lot about stuff that people are serving in ways you don't. Like, you go and see each other, you go and bring each other meals, you go and you serve in ways that are just quiet and behind the scenes and just like Jesus said to serve. And, like, thank you. Thank you for doing that. I'm proud, in hopefully a good way, to say that I'm your pastor because of the way that you serve. Thank you for that. And let me challenge you not to serve here without serving at home. So I'm going to talk specifically to the men. So if you're a wife, just sit back and this is not for you. Bro. She'll probably follow your example if you lead. So what I'd love for you to do is do the jobs that she doesn't want to do, that she hates doing, that neither of you are really willing to do. Would you step up and do those? Would you follow Jesus' example and do the stuff that no one else is willing to do or wants to do? Or would you do that? Would you load and empty the dishwasher? Would you take out the trash? Would you clean the bathrooms? Would you clean up after the dog? Would you clean up after the kids? Would you wash her feet in practical, simple, everyday ways? Jesus said, I am your teacher and your Lord, and I'm doing these things, so you go ahead and do them one to another. As Jesus went first, please go first. Jesus served by taking away our sins, by making us clean, number two, and then he told us, make sure you serve one another, and third, this is just not a sermon that I hope this is not a sermon that is only intellectually stimulating. I hope this is not a sermon that you're like, wow, I learned 10 new things. I hope I didn't say anything that was super deep today. I hope it was almost only practical today. Jesus says in verse 17, if you know these things, I hope I said a whole bunch of stuff that you already know. Blessed are you if you do them. If you actually do them. So the question is, what will we do? And this is, like I say, this is how I'm going to close the sermon, by asking you, not yet, but asking you in just a second, what is your next step? What are you going to actually do? So let me kind of bring it all together with this. Jesus served. So ask him to wash you, serve one another, and then the question mark is, what will we actually do? And I just want, if that's too many points, then just write this one down. Jesus served first, then called us to follow his example. It's as simple as that. He gave them a shocking, humiliating, memorable example, and then said, do it like that, guys. So our core value is to serve, equip, to impact like Jesus. And now I'll go first of like, what is your next step? What's your takeaway? As I was thinking about this, I pitched this sermon to a friend of mine this morning, and he immediately went into what his next step was going to be. And I'm like, oh, I haven't thought about what my next step should be yet. Because it's really easy as you're a pastor to just tell them what they should do and not really think about what you should do. So I was thinking about this. I should stop leaning my head back, I guess. I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, I think I have a tendency to be super task-oriented. There's laughing over here. So my tendency is to be like, sit down and shut up, and I'm going to wash your feet. You know, just wash their feet. Like, okay, next. Someone else sit here. And then I wash their feet. Like, okay, get out of the chair. Next one, sit down. And then wash their feet really as fast as I can. I'm like, get out of the chair. Next. And kind of run through people as fast as I can. I think I tend to run over people and run away from people while I'm serving them, because I'm so task-oriented. And I thought, probably the way for me to wash feet is to just emotionally enter their space and sit with them rather than trying to accomplish a task for them. That was way more vulnerable than I wanted to be with you. but if Jesus went first. So go ahead and tell the person sitting next to you, what is your next step? Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you for our church, and Lord, I thank you most of all for your example, that you washed the disciples' feet and said, this is how to understand what I'm doing on the cross. And Lord, how you gave us a church family to practice service in, giving and receiving service. And Lord, I just ask that you help us each examine our hearts and examine our lives and follow you into our next obedience. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.